Hey everybody, Kevin Rose here. Welcome back to another episode of The Kevin Rose Show. This is the podcast for the curious. We change it up every episode, and depending on the episode, we cover life, business, and health enhancement. You never know what you're going to get. But before we jump into today's guest, I want to give you just a quick reminder to join my newsletter. It is sent out once a month, and it's packed with all my favorite articles that I read that month. I pretty much comb the internet to bring you the best tech, life enhancement, business talks, and a whole lot more. You can sign up over at www.thejournal.email. Completely free, spam-free, sent once a month. Today's guest is Ben Greenfield. Ben is the host of the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast. It's pretty much one of the biggest, it's definitely in the top five, one of the biggest health and fitness podcasts on the internet. I've been a fan for a long time and listened to a bunch of his episodes over, probably at least over a year now. One of the things that impresses me most about Ben is just the sheer number of experiments that he performs on himself. He does all kinds of crazy stuff. For example, he's doing a platelet-rich plasma injections right now into his man parts, which is just nuts. We talk about that a little bit later in the episode. He's also, he does things like bow hunts all of his own meat. He's pretty much as hardcore as they come. And because Ben tries so many different things, I really wanted to sit down with him and figure out what sticks. Because, you know, this guy's trying 500, 1,000 different experiments every single year. So what sticks, what it really makes its way into his daily habits that he comes back to. So this was a really fun episode. Yeah, I hope you enjoy it. A lot of good information here. Here we go. This is A Day in the Life with Ben Greenfield. You know, you're known as kind of this high performance athlete that has done some amazing feats. And I'd love to just kind of run down what a day looks like for you in terms of like what you do when you get up. Because I think as someone that's listened to your podcast, the thing that's challenging for me, and I guess something I alluded to earlier, is that like when you have 100 or 1,000 plus recommendations over the years, it's hard to know exactly which ones stick. And so I'm curious, like what is your day like day to day?
Well, it depends. Cause right now I'm on the road like 20 days out of every month because I'm kind of in a phase of the year where I'm doing a lot of speaking, a lot of traveling. I'm hunting. It's the middle of race season, so I'm racing in all these Spartan races to prepare for Spartan World Championships. And so it kind of varies, but you can take a lot of your routine on the road, right? So when I wake up in the morning, I roll over, I grab my little heart rate monitor, I test my heart rate variability to just see what it's at. And it's a really good measurement of recovery.
What app are you using for that?
One called Nature Beat.
Nature Beat, okay.
I helped to design that app, admittedly, and so I'm a little bit biased, but it's the one that I like. And it's got all the features that I wanted in it, like the ability to be able to see not just your HRV, but like what's the sympathetic nervous system? Like, is my fight and flight nervous system beat up so I shouldn't lift weights today and I should just do like, you know, yoga and a swim or whatever? Or is my parasympathetic nervous system beat up and I should kind of avoid intensive aerobic activity and just do something like a little bit more short and explosive? All right. So you can kind of like make decisions on the fly. And I found that if you push through and you ignore your numbers, you can predict illness or injury extremely accurately. So I do that measurement every morning. Take a glance at my sleep data from my ring. You know, it takes like a minute. And I wear the same dorky cereal box ring that you do, that Oura ring.
Yeah.
Because I like it. It's really accurate for sleep. And it's just, it has an internal built-in computer. So you can just keep it in airplane mode and it continues to collect data. So you don't have to, you know, returning to that discussion earlier, like have Wi-Fi or Bluetooth kind of on your body all day long. While I'm laying there doing the heart rate variability, you know, cause a lot of this stuff you can double up and do at the same time. I gratitude journal. I write down, one thing that I'm grateful for. And then I write down one truth that I discovered in my morning reading, or for me, often it's whatever I read the night before. Cause I read a lot of like paper books before I go to sleep at night. And when I know I got to write down things that I learned from those books, it helps me to be a little bit more attentive and mindful and conscientious when I read them.
Yeah. And remember that and recall that data later, you know, just the act of journaling and writing something down.
Yeah. Cause you sleep and memories form when you sleep, and they form even better. Again, a lot of this stuff doubles up when your body temperature is low and, you know, the room is nice and cool. So So I write down the one truth from my reading, and then I write down one person who I can help or who I can serve that day. So rather than writing down like my daily affirmation, like the me, I stuff, I write down somebody who I can help. And that helps me be really others facing during the day. And it kind of helps you just be a little bit more empathetic throughout the day when you have like that one mm-hmm. person. Plus, if you think about it, you're helping 365 folks or doing 365 good acts at least each year when you add that up. So I journal, you know, that, and all that's done in like, you know, 5-10 minutes. And then I get out of bed, and whether I'm traveling, you know, and that same thing I do when I'm traveling or when I'm at home. But then for the first 10 to 15 minutes of the day, I basically do a little bit of like body work, meaning that I do some breathing, some stretching. I always am traveling with, you know, little massage balls or, you know, little portable foam rollers. Or when I'm at home, you know, I have a whole medieval torture box full of these deep tissue tools. And typically while I am heating water for coffee or for tea, I like to try different types of teas, right? Like green tea and moringa tea and yerba mate. So I kind of vary it up from day to day just based on whatever. Honestly, being you know, kind of like in the nutrition industry, people just send random, you know, teas and samples to my house. So I just kind of try different things in the morning. But while I'm heating the water for that, I just tend to my body for like 10 to 15 minutes. And so rather than getting like a 2-hour massage once a week, or rather than doing like an hour foam rolling once a week, I just kind of do a little bit each day. And so if you do the math, you know, you're getting like, you know, an hour and a half of deep tissue work every week if you kind of just do a little bit every morning. And then I'll drink my coffee. And while I'm drinking my coffee, I personally write fiction. So I'm about to finish my first work of fiction.
That's awesome.
By just writing for about, you know, 15-20 minutes a day while I drink my coffee or my tea.
And you're still in a fasted state at this point. You're not adding anything like...
Yeah. Okay. I typically don't eat breakfast till about 10 or 10:30 a.m., right? So I always, every single day, 365 days a year, I go for at least 12 hours without eating, right? To give the gut a break. And again, like, I'm all about consistency. I exercise every day. I don't do like week-long water fasts. I just like fast every day a little bit. I don't do like 3-hour brutal exercise sessions. I just exercise every day a little bit.
I just finished a 5-day water only fast, and it was one of the most brutal things I've ever done to my body. Yeah, it was so brutal. I don't recommend it. It definitely took a lot of mental fortitude to get through that, those 5 days. Talk about crappy sleep.
Yeah, I'm an athlete right now, so I got to eat like a copious number of calories. Yeah. I just shove them all into like an 8-hour time frame, which research has shown is actually a little bit better. It's more natural. You get a little bit better insulin regulation. So I don't eat breakfast. You know, I'm still just like drinking my coffee, writing, reading research articles, and doing like a lot of kind of passive work. And then typically most mornings, still in a fasted state, I just do about a half hour of easy parasympathetic nervous system type of exercise on most days. Like when I'm at home, almost every single day, that involves me sitting in my sauna for like 20 or 30 minutes and then going and jumping in the cold pool. And that's it. And while I'm in the sauna, I'll do yoga, I'll do breathing. You know, I have like special lights in there. I have like special sound frequencies in there for sound healing. Like it's my little portal for pushing the reboot button on the body.
So how hot do you go in your sauna? If you're doing infrared, you're not getting that hot, right?
Well, infrared heats the tissue really deep, so it can be cooler. But what I did was I stuck a wine cork in the temperature sensor of my sauna, and then I insulated the whole thing. All right, so I've also got 2 hot plates that I can put in there to jack up the temperature even more. So it'll get up to about 170 in my sauna. And then I have a cold pool. I had a crane drop this 19-foot endless pool out in the middle of the forest back behind my house. And I keep it really cold. And when I'm out and about, sometimes I'll stop at the gas station and grab little bags of ice and dump them in there so it stays pretty cold year round. And I jump into the cold pool for about 5 minutes after I do the sauna. So that's like 25, 30 minutes. And then I'm out, I'm done. I go in the house. Typically my team, for Ben Greenfield Fitness, we have like an online huddle every morning at about 9:45 a.m. So typically I'll call into that and I'll get on our team huddle. And while I'm on the team huddle, I make myself a smoothie. And typically the smoothie is just like a bunch of plants and fats, right? Like nettle and mint and cilantro and parsley and, you know, pumpkin seeds or sunflower seeds or pecans or coconut oil. And I make it like really thick, like pudding. And a lot of times I'll put like bone broth and a little bit of lemon juice in there. And I blend it all up like as thick as pudding so I could eat it with a spoon. And then I sprinkle like little superfoods on it after I make it, like cacao nibs and coconut flakes and goji berries. Whenever I have friends over, I make them the smoothie and they're like, they think it looks like cat diarrhea, but it's like the best thing you've ever had. It's like a Wendy's Frosty because I have like a really nice butterscotch or vanilla stevia that I put in there. I put a little bit of cacao powder in there. It's got like, you know, 20 different things, but it tastes amazing. And it's like rocket fuel for like the next 6 hours. So I make that like pudding in a giant blender. And then I sit there and I eat my smoothie and I just go through the day's emails and the day's work and kind of like knock out a bunch of stuff while I just feed on my pudding for like a half hour.
And do you find that this is keeping you in ketosis? Is this kind of keeping you in, or are you in ketosis at all?
I have been eating a low carbohydrate diet for about a decade. Before ketosis was even popular, I was doing ketosis and training my body how to burn more fats as a fuel. And my strategy is very simple. I simply eat an extremely small or non-existent number of carbohydrates the entire day. And at the very end of the day, I have carbohydrates ad libitum from clean sources like carrots and parsnips and beets and, you know, fermented sourdough bread and sweet potatoes and yams or red wine, dark chocolate, 100 to 200 grams or so.
At the end of every day?
At the end of every day. And remember, I exercise a lot and I do the same thing, or I encourage the same thing, and like the guys and girls that I coach or in the books that I write. But what I tell people is if you're sedentary, it's closer to about 40 to 60 grams at the end of the day. And if you're mildly active, it's somewhere, you know, up to about 100. But if you're an athlete, you're exercising a lot, you're CrossFit or whatever, 100 to 200 grams, which is still considered a low carbohydrate diet. And if you do the math, that's still only like 20 to 30% of your macronutrient ratio being derived from carbohydrates.
Are you doing this post-workout? Or is this like, a lot of people, you know, in the past have said, okay, have your carbohydrates pre-workout. It gives you the energy you need. But it sounds like this is post, yeah?
So I work out, like my hard workout, typically between 4 and 7 p.m. for a variety of reasons. Your body temperature peaks then, your grip strength peaks, your testosterone peaks, your reaction time peaks, your post-workout protein synthesis peaks. And what research has shown is that if you exercise hard, and I've tested this with my ring, and you finish that exercise session at least 3 hours prior to bedtime, but it's later in the day that you exercise, you actually enhance your deep sleep too. So it's always best if you can do a hard workout and your day allows for it to do it later on in the day. So I do that workout later on in the day and I'll finish it up. Typically I'm done working out by 6:30 or 7, and usually I'll have dinner around 8 or 8:30. All right. So sometimes later than that, sometimes we'll have dinner around 9. So I've got a good 2 to 3 hours of not eating anything after my workout, because when you don't eat anything, even after a hard workout, unless you're just trying to get huge, right? Like you're a bodybuilder, it's better to fast after a workout because you get an increase in growth hormone and an increase in testosterone. And there's a variety of research studies that show this when you wait to eat after workout, despite what, you know, the Jamba juices at the exit of the gym and the big maltodextrin whey protein shakes for post-workout, like a lot of that's trickle down from the bodybuilding industry where you just got to eat right after workout. So you build a whole bunch of muscle. They really don't need to. So I wait a while, and then with dinner, then I'll have all that carbohydrate. But yeah, I'm typically in like a post-workout state. And even if you are working out hard in the morning, there's a lot of really interesting research. John Kiefer has been a guy I've interviewed a couple of times on my show, and there's a lot of really interesting research about insulin sensitivity in the evening. and more favorable body composition when you do eat the majority of your carbohydrates at the end of the day. And I suspect that's because you're restoring glycogen that you burnt throughout the day from your physical activity, whether or not you had your hard workout at the end of the day. But you're also keeping your body in kind of this mild fat burning state the whole day. So to return to your question about ketosis, I'm not a big fan of doing like the breath measurements and the blood sticks all day long. I'm kind of over that. I did it for a couple of years and it begins to suck the enjoyment out of eating. Just like I think journaling your diet is good for a little while. And once you've got your head wrapped around it, it's best to put the journal away and just, you know, enjoy your food. But, yes, I'm in a state of ketosis, typically like above 1 millimolar at least, and often above 3 most of the day. And because of the recent data on the longevity and what's called the FOXO3 enhancing properties of these exogenous ketones, like beta hydroxybutyrate, I'm starting to include those more throughout the day as well. Even though I wasn't that enamored with them. I'm a bigger fan of just like achieving ketosis through not stuffing your face too much and through calorie restriction or carbohydrate restriction throughout the day. There's enough data on additional benefits of consuming some of these exogenous ketones that I've started to throw those in, you know, at little points throughout the day. I've tossed them in the morning smoothie. I'll have a few after lunch.
What brand are you using for this? I'm curious. Is there, because I've found them to be pretty harsh in terms of flavor.
Yeah. Currently I'm brand agnostic. The only thing I look at is whether the ketone has either an MCT powder added to it, or whether it has another component that will enhance ketone production, butyric acid added to it. And as long as it's got either of those, I know it's got good absorptability. There's there's so many. There's Keto One, there's Prove It. Those are a couple that are in my pantry right now. I've got one back in my bag behind me. I forget the brand, but again, dude, like kind of like the teas and coffees that I get shipped to my house, it seems like every week, like random packages of different brands of ketones kind of just show up on my doorstep from all these keto companies.
Yeah, I just had the same thing.
Yeah, so I just kind of, you know, whatever happens to be in the pantry, really, I'll eat. There's not a huge difference between any of them. And I mean, honestly, if it's just a ketone, you can add a little bit of MCT oil to it, for example, to increase absorption. And you can add like a little bit of chocolate stevia or, you know, things that help it to go down a little bit better.
I just had a random bottle of liquid ketones show up and I had no idea who sent it or where it's from. It just literally arrived at my door. Those always freak me out a little bit when you get like the random package.
Is it silver?
It's silver, yeah.
Yeah. So that comes from Dr. Veach's lab. It seems that they are targeting different podcasters, figuring out their addresses and sending them these ketone esters. Those are really good. They cost about $300 a bottle to produce. So they're not very marketable to the general population yet. But those will give you about 10 times the length and the ketone effectiveness of any ketone salt, because ketone esters are what is naturally produced by your body, whereas a salt requires it to be bound to a salt. It's a little bit more non-native. And so these ketone esters, despite them being very expensive and tasting a little bit like rocket fuel, I've taken them before races. Like I won a one of those Tough Mudders last year, and all I did before the Tough Mudder was just because they sent me a bottle and I drank it before the race. I tested my ketones and they jacked up to 8 within about 15 minutes.
Oh wow, holy crap.
Yeah, I know, it was like rocket fuel. So yeah, those are good ketones, but you can't really buy them, right? They're just like super expensive to make. They come out of Dr. Veach's laboratory, Dr. Richard Veach, who's probably like one of the, him and Dominique D'Agostino are probably two of the best researchers when it comes to ketones. So anyways though, when I'm traveling, you know, that whole breakfast thing is it's kind of similar, except I'll use like meal replacement shakes rather than smoothies because I don't travel with a Vitamix. So you know, I'll you know, mix in a Ziploc bag some, you know, some protein powder or some MCT powder and, you know, a few random little, you know, crunchy things like cacao nibs or coconut flakes or whatever. And I'll just travel with a few Ziploc bags. There's also this meal replacement shake called Ample. That's kind of like a low carb, pretty good tasting meal replacement shake. And same thing when I'm traveling, I'll just mix it with water and sit there and do my work and eat it like pudding. So that's breakfast. And then I just work my ass off for like 4 hours. And while I'm working, to return to your question about like, you know, how do I squeeze all these little biohacks in throughout the day? So my office when I'm at home is just like a little, a little paradise for enhancing the body and the brain. So on either side of my desk, I've got infrared lighting, near infrared lighting, which enhances collagen quality, skin quality, increases testosterone and sperm production if you shine it on your balls. I mean, like all sorts of advantages. So I have what's called a Juve light on either side of me as I'm working that I'll just flip on at random points throughout the day. I typically am standing on one of those balance devices, like a fluid stance, or else like a foam mat. There's one called a Kai Bounder that it's patterned after like the Korean rice paddy fields, and it kind of makes your body kind of shift, and it's like a little bit of a squishy surface under your feet. And so I'll stand on that throughout the day, but next to that, and I use a standing workstation. It's one of those hand crank standing workstations. I also have a manual treadmill. And when I say hand crank workstation, like the one that you crank to move up and down, and manual treadmill, there's a reason behind that. Because again, I'm trying to decrease the number of like electrical things that I have in my office. So although, you know, I'll be working in like a sitting position sometimes on like one of these stools that adapts to your pelvis, like a saddle stool or a MOGO stool. You know, there's a lot of different things out there that are alternatives to chairs that are a lot better for your spine and your pelvis. So my office is just kind of littered with all these different varieties of ways to sit and stand and walk throughout the day while I'm working.
Yeah, one of the things you would be helpful for you to touch on, because I think that not everyone knows this, is just how crazy the research is around like the fact that you should be standing, like you should actually get up and move, because otherwise it's literally just like killing your body, right?
Well, you have nearly twice the risk, and I realize this might sound counter to what you're saying, but you have twice the risk of heart issues and varicose veins if you stand during the day instead of sit. But your risk of cardiovascular disease can also increase when you sit during the day. So the key is to be in a variety of positions throughout the day. People who stand all day are not very healthy biomechanically. People who sit all day are not very healthy biochemically. And so the trick is to be in a variety. Like right now, I'm squatting while I'm talking. I'm in one of those like take a dump in the woods squatting position because I'm at a hotel and I don't have my special little, you know, seats and chairs with me. But when we first started podcasting, I was in a lunging position with my right foot forward, left foot back. And then I shifted to left foot forward, right foot back. Right now I'm squatting, you know, heels down and like a deep squat. So the trick is to just be in a variety of positions throughout the day. And that can include sitting sometimes. But for example, even when I'm sitting, you know, I have a chair made in Finland. It's called a saddle chair. And it's actually patterned after the way that a saddle is designed, and it splits your pelvis and keeps your posture upright, and you're in this like perfect position throughout the day. So that's kind of the idea behind standing versus sitting. In addition, all the light bulbs in my office are biological LED bulbs, which I mentioned earlier, made by a company called Lighting Science. So there's not a lot of flicker or retinal damage going on while I'm at work. I've got a program called Iris, IRIS, installed on my computer, and Iris reduces the temperature and the flicker and the blue light from the computer screen. There's another popular one called Flux. All that Flux does is it reduces the blue light, whereas Iris reduces a whole lot more. It even adjusts the font that you're reading to make the font easier to read.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I've seen Iris, but I just never downloaded it. I'd used Flux in the past, and then, of course, Apple started baking some of the kind of temperature controls. But theirs is very, you know, obviously very basic. I don't know if you've seen that, but it's built into Mac OS and to the iPhones now. Which is cool, but I haven't tried this one out.
Yeah, it beats the pants off Flux. Plus, it has the setting where you can like have like break reminders come up that give you specific eye stretches or head and neck stretches or, you know, different
That's
movement
great.
Patterns. So it's a nice piece of software. I like it. In addition to that, I've got the air. So I have something called an Air Doctor, which is a standalone HEPA air filter that also has what I was talking about very early in our show, a negative ion generator. And so that basically churns out these ions that are very similar to, again, what you get if you're walking outside.
How does someone know if they have bad air at their house?
You can test. There's one test you can order on Amazon, but the best resource to get a list of different tests, the technical term for this is called EMSI testing, is a website called survivingmold.com. And there you can kind of educate yourself on air quality, mold, fungus, you know, how to test, what kind of things can clean up the air in your home. But even though the air in my home is very clean, I'm kind of trying to go from good to great, right? Like I'm trying to optimize every little variable, because that's my passion, is to figure out, you know, not only how to make the human body live a long time, but have it, you know, look good and feel good and have the brain work really well throughout the day. And so I have this standalone HEPA air filter with a negative ion generator on it. And then also with regard to air quality, I diffuse oils in my office. I like rosemary, which is really good for memory, and pine, which is very good for focus and alertness. Another good one is cinnamon and peppermint. And so I just have this little diffuser on my desk and a few bottles of essential oil that I diffuse while I'm working throughout the day. And that's again, just, you know, when you think about it, I'm not taking a whole bunch of time. It's just there. And I press the on button, I turn it on and I work.
Right.
It's not like I'm, you know, taking 10 minutes out of my day to hunch over my essential oil diffuser and sniff what's coming out of it. Right. Like I'm working. I also have, in the office, what are called dirty electricity filters plugged into each of the outlets of the wall. So it's very, very clean from that standpoint. And, you know, there's a lot of other little hacks that I have in there, like a hydrogenated air generator that generates a specific type of air that can actually repair DNA. It's called a NanoV. Really compelling research on their website, NanoVI. And it's like this, just like this little tube that's sitting on my desk that hydrogenates the air before it comes out of this tube, and you just breathe it in. And again, I'm still working, I'm still being productive, but it's just like there around me, like the lights and the diffuser and the standing workstation. So when you ask me about how you work all these things in throughout the day, it's just a matter of like setting up your working environment or your playing environment or your home. So you're just kind of exposed to this stuff, and you're exposed to it passively rather than having to just like be, you know, whatever, biohacking all day long and you know, and not have a life. So
one of the things that I'm curious about is, given that you've tested all of these various devices, and for someone listening that's getting into, you know, biohacking for the first time, they're probably like a little overwhelmed / taking notes. And if you can afford like one or two things out of all the devices that you've tested over the years, is there one in particular, or maybe two, that have just totally surprised you that you couldn't live without, that you're like, wow, this really changed me in a positive way?
Yeah. It would be the infrared sauna and a cold tub or a cold pool. Like, honestly, even if I do nothing else, I'm like Superman the rest of the day. If I start my day with a really deep sweat and getting my body really hot in the sauna and then shifting to cold, and there's reasoning behind that, right? You get an increase in heat shock protein, nitric oxide, and blood flow. So those would be the two must-haves. Would be some way to get yourself very cold and some way to get yourself very hot. If you're going to buy anything for your home, you know, and like my sauna's big, and it was expensive. It was like, you know, I think like 5,000. It's a clear light sauna, so it's very low EMF. So it's a wraparound. It's called a sanctuary. So it's big enough for, you know, I've had four people in there just chatting, and, you know, one person can easily do yoga, or I'll put dumbbells in there and do a workout or whatever. And then, you know, you can get a cold tub from a freaking like local feed lot, you know, it's like a trough that you'd feed horses or cows from. You can fill that with ice and water, or you can get something a little bit more fancy. There's different cold tub companies out there now that I forget the name of the one. Laird Hamilton was showing me his. It's, I forget the name of it, but it's like a standalone cold tub that circulates cold water into it and automatically makes it cool. And there's like what are called mobile whirlpools, which kind of like those are the ones you would see in like a football facility or a gym or a athletic conditioning room at a university, where they've got like they keep it full of ice, but it's got a natural water circulator in it. It's coldtub.com. Coldtub.com. Is the one I think that Laird uses. But yeah, I would say a sauna and a cold tub would be like the two biggest wins if I could pick anything. So anyways, to put the cap on your question about how my day goes, I pretty much go into my office and I work like a horse with blinders on for 4 hours. I can be productive for about 4 hours a day before I start to kind of phase out a little bit. So and I still work at other points throughout the day, but my hardcore work is typically from like 10 a.m. until about 2 p.m. I'm just like, I don't emerge from the office. I just work my ass off for 4 hours, you know, little Pomodoro breaks throughout the day. But so I work and work and work, and then I go upstairs and I'll have a quick lunch. And usually during lunch, it's most often just like a salad, you know, just a bunch of plants, and you know, I'll throw some sardines or seeds or nuts on there. And I always eat a pretty quick lunch, and I work during lunch. So while I'm working in my office, all emails are off, push notifications are off, phone's off. But while I'm eating lunch, I catch up on that stuff. All right. So I never really take a passive lunch. I work through lunch. And then almost every day, I curl up after lunch and I take a nap. I have this thing called a bio mat that's like an infrared mat that I'll curl up on. I also have like an earthing mat and a grounding mat, and I'll pull out either one of those and just curl up and sleep for a little while and put on like some binaural beats. And I have this device called a Circadia. It's an electrode you can place above each ear that churns out serotonin and dopamine and plummets your cortisol levels. And so it'll take you from work mode into rest mode within like 2 minutes flat. And so you can go from working to taking an afternoon nap really, really quickly. I use it on airplanes too. It's called a Circadia. It's made by a company called Fisher Wallace. And then after my nap, I will get up. Usually I'll do just a little bit more kind of like catch up work, you know, like emails, put out any last fires. And then my kids come home from school and I play with my kids. I hang out with them. I shoot my bow, I'll play guitar, ukulele. And then, like I said, sometime between 4 and 6 p.m., I'll start a workout, and I'll usually work out for about an hour, do something hard. And then after my workout, I will do about another 30, 45 minutes of work, you know, catching up on emails and taking care of any last minute things. And then, you know, everything gets shut down. And typically I'll go help my wife with dinner or play with the kids. And we have dinner around, you know, 8 or 9 p.m. And after we eat, I play some music and we gather around. We share our gratitude journals and what we were grateful for that day and who we helped and who we served. And because my whole family does the same journaling and the truth that we discovered. And then after that, it's either lights out and time for typically most nights, either reading paper books. It's always paper books in bed, never the Kindle or the iPhone. It's always paper. So I keep a big stack of mm-hmm. books next to my bed. So it's that or another passion of late that Men's Health Magazine just hired me to write a series of articles on, and that would be sex. And I'm very much into dick hacking right now. And so
did you popularize that term? Is that,
I think we're going to call the column Dick Equals One or Dick Experiments. But basically, I did a platelet-rich plasma injection along with acoustic sound wave therapy in my dick last week down in Miami, along with stem cell injections. And
like straight into the penis, like injected right in.
Yeah, they inject a nerve block and then they just...
Do they numb you?
Yeah, they numb you. They inject a nerve block and it doesn't even hurt.
Oh.
You can go watch. It's on the Men's Health Instagram page. You can watch the whole story. There's no photos of my dick. Don't worry. But they and then they gave me a penis pump afterwards. So I'm supposed to use a penis pump twice a day for 10 minutes, which again, I've been just doing it while I'm working. I'm not wearing it right now.
So wait a second. I'm very confused here. Like, you're a healthy dude. You're like, you know, you're not at the age to where you should probably need these things. Like, why is this giving you like length and girth, or what is it doing?
So number one, a ton of people do have ED and they do have less than stellar orgasms and they do have issues with blood flow and nitric oxide production. And so there's a lot of ways that you can enhance that. And so, that's part of the reason is because a lot of people, especially guys who follow me, they want to improve their sexual performance or they have issues. For me, in addition to just figuring out a way to help more people, and you know, I'm kind of a guinea pig self experimenter, and that's one of the ways that I do it is like a form of immersive journalism, is, you know, very similar to the reason I have all these things in my office. I just want to optimize my body to the fullest. And so, like, I'll be frank with you right now, dude. My dick is freaking huge. After doing this procedure last week, and
swollen, like hurting.
No, like it's grown. Like, it builds new blood vessels and gets rid of old damaged blood vessels. And then when you throw like the pump on top of that, you've got nitric oxide like in your crotch all day long, and it's actually really amazing. And your orgasms last like 2 minutes. It's crazy.
Wow. How long does that last for? Is this something you have to go and like get rejuiced every few months?
Yeah, it lasts for about 2 months. Yeah. So it's a great business model for them, I guess. But
yeah, seriously.
They've got like 80 different clinics. They're called Gainswave. They've got 80 different clinics around the US. And yeah, you just go in, takes 20 minutes to do the treatment, you walk out, and you're like a 16-year-old boy for the next couple of months.
Wow. That's just insane. Gravitating away from dicks for a second, there's a couple things I wanted to cover with you. I wanted to cover brain health as well. So we're talking about like what you've experimented with, whether it's lion's mane or Bacopa or methylene blue or anything that you've done on the brain hacking side. So I guess we could start with that.
Yeah. I would say that nootropics are kind of a horse that gets kicked to death these days. And yeah, there are a lot of different options out there, as you know, from Siltep to Alpha Brain to Qualia to, you know, everybody and their dog, every supplement company is making a nootropic now. And a lot of them, frankly, work. You know, even like the mushroom coffee stuff, the lion's mane or the caffeine or whatever. I mean, all of them work. A lot of them work in different ways. I like the Qualia one simply because it doesn't just include racetams and different compounds that can amplify brain performance, but at the same time, it has things like, you know, curcumin in it to quell neural inflammation, and it has minerals in it to replenish many of the minerals that you get depleted in when you start to enhance neural activity, and it has choline in it, which is one of the reasons that if it's deficient, people get like a crash after they take a smart drug or a nootropic. So, from a supplement standpoint, that's one of the ones I'll use most often. It's called Qualia, Qualia. There's a few other things that work really well, though. There's a company called Vielite, V-I-E Light, and they developed this originally for patients with Alzheimer's and dementia, and there's some really good clinical studies behind it. But it's like this headset that you wear. It also has like a nasal probe. And I'll wear that in the mornings while I'm typing away, typically on my fiction, and it increases nitric oxide production in neural tissue and also amplifies activity of something called cytochrome, I believe it's the cytochrome C oxidase pathway. It's one of the enzyme pathways in the mitochondria of neural tissue that enhances cellular activity in neural tissue. And so it's very simple. You put it on for 20, 25 minutes in the morning, and it's like a cup of coffee for your head. And it's also really good for jet lag, for brain fog. So I like that. You know, if I were going to pick like one gear or device that you could own, I use the one called the Vielite Alpha. They make another one that's a gamma. That's, you know, the alpha is 10 hertz. The gamma is 40 hertz. The 40 hertz frequency breaks up amyloid plaques and is better for people who have high Alzheimer's risk or Alzheimer's or dementia. The 10 hertz is more for people who just want to amplify cognitive performance. So that's what I like for gear. And then if I could throw one other thing in there for cognitive performance that I like, it would be the use of like light, kind of returning to the jet lag thing. I own two devices and I travel with these because they're especially useful for retiming your circadian rhythm, right? When you're in a different time zone and you need to jumpstart your brain or your body or your circadian rhythm. One is a set of glasses that you wear called Retimers, Retimers, Retimers. And they produce a greenish blue light for about 20 minutes that sends a message to your brain that it's intense daylight wherever you happen to be in the world. And then I also travel with this little set of earbuds called a human charger, and those shine light into your ears. We have photoreceptors that can do the same thing as the photoreceptors in your eyes or on your skin. And again, it induces wakefulness and alertness during the day. So like when I travel to Iceland tomorrow and I get to Iceland, as soon as I wake up in the morning in Iceland, I'll wear the Retimer glasses and the human charger for, you know, the first little bit of the day while I'm going, you know, while I'm doing my stretching or my rolling or drinking my coffee or whatever. And they're extremely helpful, especially if you travel and you need to improve brain performance or beat jet lag. So those are just a few of the little things that I use.
One of the questions around the supplements you take, you had mentioned trying a handful of different things in the brain side, but we didn't cover what supplements in general you take. Do you have like a daily regimen, or is it just change day to day for you?
I take creatine every day. There's enough research on creatine in terms of it staving off, especially as you age, sarcopenia or muscle loss, neural performance. And so it is a little bit of a cognitive booster. Strength, power, of course, is what it's most well known for, but it's one of the most studied.
Does that jack up your stomach at all? Cause I've heard a lot of people have issues with the monohydrate, or do you take a different form?
Yeah, you don't want to load with it. And I just take 5 grams a day, which is not too much, but every day I use creatine. And every day I use some form of an omega-3 supplement, like a fish oil or krill oil, or sometimes I'll just use spirulina or chlorella, you know, more vegan forms of DHA. So that's another one that I'll use every day. And then typically I'll use some type of a shotgun of nutrients, and usually that's some kind of a greens powder or a multivitamin, whatever I happen to have on hand and whatever is convenient. So I've got creatine, fish oil, some kind of a multi, and then I'm big into digestive support, right? Because I am exercising so much. Athletes are known for having poor digestive function because you have so much blood flow diverted away from the gut and you're eating so many calories. So I take probiotics and colostrum in the morning, and then I take digestive enzymes before I have any of my bigger meals. And then the only other two things that I'll take on a regular basis, number one would be I take something called bitter melon extract prior to that evening carbohydrate feed, because it's just as potent as the diabetic drug metformin for lowering blood glucose and allowing glucose to be shuttled more efficiently into muscle tissue.
Interesting. I spent a bunch of time in Okinawa, and I don't know if you know about Okinawa, but it's one of the places on Earth, one of the blue zones. So they have a large percentage of people over the age of 100. And one of the things that they eat every single day, and like I would get it in my eggs in the morning, is just straight up bitter melon. And it takes a little getting used to, because it's pretty pungent, but you can tell it's so bad, it almost tastes like healthy, if that makes sense.
Yep. Yep. That's why I like the capsules, dude. Either one will do the trick.
What about natto?
Natto is good for vitamin K2, but it's difficult to hunt down, especially with as much as I travel. My wife occasionally gets some soybeans and ferment soybeans and make natto. She does a lot of fermentation. So we at our house, we've got 7 goats and 14 chickens and 8 big raised garden beds. I bow hunt most of our meat. And so, you know, we have a lot of really good food at home. And because we have so many vegetables and fruits growing, my wife ferments and pickles, you know, everything from kombucha to elderberry wine to watermelon rinds. I mean, you name it. You open up our refrigerator, it's just chock full of like mason glass jars full of fermented things. And so natto is another thing that will ferment occasionally. But, you know, the main benefit of natto is the vitamin K2. And I get that from a multivitamin in most cases. You can get a little bit from like mushrooms and butter and things like that. But ultimately, don't do a lot of natto, just because it's, I don't know, I like it. Like I like to roll up natto in a little nori wrap with some rice and some mustard, and it's a great little treat, but I don't keep it on hand too often. And then I take CBD before bed, just a non-psychoactive extract of organic hemp, to allow for relaxation. And that's, again, like full disclosure, I make the one that I take. It's blended with ashwagandha, magnesium, lemon balm, and then it's cannabidiol. And it's just like makes you sleep like a baby. So I'll pop like 3 or 4 of those before bed. And
now you're supposed to have a little bit of THC in there to kind of activate the CBD, or is that just complete like bogus information?
THC helps a little bit, but the problem, well, there are multiple problems. Number one, I compete in a doping sanctioned sport. I can't use THC. Number two, it's not legal for me to make a supplement and ship it around the states and around the world and have it have any THC in it. It comes with a laboratory certificate of analysis that shows that it has less than 0.3% THC content, because otherwise it wouldn't be legal. And the last thing is, gotcha, like frequently doing THC can have a little bit of an estrogenic effect. It can not be so great for guys' testosterone levels, for example. So that's why a lot of times you find weed smokers, their libido isn't that great, their erections aren't that great. So I'm kind of careful with THC in the off season when I'm not competing. I'll occasionally get high, before like a concert or a good movie, or a very long international flight when I want to watch a good movie. But ultimately, I'm pretty careful with THC. I have been known to eat an edible while I'm standing in line at TSA to enhance the effects of a 12-hour flight. But that's about it.
A big thank you to Ben Greenfield for recording this podcast. Hopefully you got a lot out of it. And a quick reminder to sign up over at thejournal.email to my newsletter, sent just once a month, completely free, www.thejournal.email. And also, last request and ask I have of you, if you enjoyed this podcast, the number one thing you can do is to tell a friend about it, and then also give us a review on iTunes. So head on over to iTunes, type in The Kevin Rose Show, and if you give us a 5-star review, that would be massive. It really helps when they recommend podcasts to other folks. And so the more good reviews we get, the more you help spread the word. Thanks so much, and we'll see you soon.